the Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Andrew Whitfield, now in the studio. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us, or Deputy Minister, rather. Thank you very much for joining us. We last chatted earlier this year after the elections, and there was lots to do. It's still early days, but we thought it would get appropriate as we move into November to get an update from you as Deputy Minister in terms of progress underway.
Great. Well, thank you very much for having me, Bronwyn. We met just shortly after our trip to Washington on AGOA, and perhaps let me start with that and say that there's been a tremendous effort by the Government of National Unity to rebuild and reset that relationship. Minister Parks Tower and I were in Washington at the end of June, beginning of July this year. And then on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly, President Ramaphosa and the full GNU team were out there making sure that we keep that relationship building exercise front and center. There were trips down to Washington from Minister Lamola as well as Minister Tao during September as well, which is, I think, significant given the importance of the relationship in the United States and given the focus on resetting that relationship, that there has been such emphasis over the last 4 months of the GNU, making sure that we keep that relationship on track. There's obviously a big election taking place this week, and we need to bear in mind that there may be implications. But I think that on both sides of the House and Congress, there's been a lot of work done by the GNU, both houses of Congress, both sides of the House, and making sure that South Africa remains front and center insofar as Africa is concerned and the African Continental Free Trade Area. And so I'm excited about the prospects to strengthen the relationship. And very, very excited, Bronwyn, just to say that the key outcome of that visit was the reestablishment of the Trade and Investment Framework Agreement, which is a bilateral platform for South Africa and the United States to engage. I think in the context of what's happening or what may happen, it's important that there is a strengthening of the bilateral relationship between our two countries and not just within the context of AGOA.
So, Deputy Minister, there are a lot of people who are watching this conversation who are small businesses, medium enterprises, large businesses as well, certainly farmers. What does it all mean for them at the end of the day? If we really break it down for the man and the woman on the ground in South Africa, how does what you are doing, the work that you are doing as the Department of Trade and Industry, going to further the agenda to grow South Africa's economy through these businesses?
So our mission is to make it easier for businesses to grow and to create jobs and for people to be able to keep those jobs, right? If I was to simplify it right down to those basics, that is what it is. We need to become a much more accessible and responsive government. I'm very pleased at what the work we've been doing insofar as interfacing with the private sector, making sure that we create platforms to engage with industry. I've met with a number of small and medium-sized enterprises over the last 4 months to listen to their challenges, whether it's on tariffs, whether it's export readiness of their businesses, understanding access to markets that exist around the world for their products. There's a huge amount of work being done inside the department to make sure that we communicate the opportunities that are available. Many South African businesses are not aware of the extent to which DTIC provides support insofar as not just incentives, but training and development, for example, on the export readiness side. There are specific programs where the department can assist. But I think generally what we are trying to do is to make sure that market sentiment remains positive, not just abroad, but here domestically as well. There's been a lot of effort and energy outside of the DTIC within the broader GNU and making sure that our energy supply is stable and secure, making sure that we focus on our logistics environment, freight specifically on the rail side, and then our ports as a key piece of enabling infrastructure. And the DTIC, Bronwyn, I think what is significant to your viewers is that for the first time, I think in a very long time, the Department of Trade and Industry is now the chair of the economics cluster within government. And that's important because we are the policy nexus or the economic policy nexus of government, and we're able to then coordinate and give a sense of urgency to all other departments within government that we need to stay on track with the economic reform agenda, which is well underway.
The one thing that we are not shifting, Deputy Minister, is the level of unemployment in South Africa. In fact, it's going in the wrong direction. Is this a key focus at every engagement that you have, whether it is with public or private sector players?
Well, there is absolute consensus within the government of national unity, and I think broadly in society and across business, is that if the GNU cannot move the needle on growth and jobs, Bronwyn, then we will have failed. And so the conversation is very much focused on how do we create jobs by making the difficult decisions required in order to achieve growth and to look into the future. I think one of the things that we do because of our past in the country is that we don't look far enough in the future. We need to be bold and ambitious about what lies ahead in the future. And we need to be honest about where we can be competitive as an economy. We have a tremendous amount of resources that we need to deploy more efficiently and strategically to get better returns on growth and jobs. That is something that I am very exercised with in making sure that we identify those opportunities, some low-hanging fruit, whether it's in process or the actual allocation of financial incentives. How do we structure our economy to create that inclusive growth and job creation? Absolutely critical. I'm particularly passionate, Bronwyn, about the global business services sector, for example, where the master plan has a target of 500,000 jobs, I think, by 2035. We're currently in the region of 140,000, 150,000 jobs, if I'm not mistaken. And there's huge scope for growth broadly in the services sector. South Africa has huge scope to export our services all over the world. And as an emerging economy that is the gateway into the African continent, African Continental Free Trade Area, we are incredibly well positioned on that front. So I'm very positive about the way that things are shaping up. And I want to also just say that I think that the great frustration is that nothing happens as quickly as we'd like it to. And it is going to take some time to turn the ship around, but the ship is turning in the right direction. And there's a lot of effort and emphasis in making sure we make the right decisions for growth and jobs.
I've been having a number of conversations with captains of industry, namely Hendrik du Toit, the CEO of 91, Dr. Rual Khoza, who's the chairman of Discovery Bank, and also chatting to Mteto Nyati, who's the chair of Eskom, obviously a different play within that ecosystem. But the overall sentiment is that private and public sector engagement is on an upward trajectory beyond anything that we have seen before. Can you confirm that from your vista in public sector?
Yes, absolutely I can. I can tell you that I've never been so busy in my life having a range of different meetings, Bronwyn, and many of those meetings, whether they are with the private sector or just government to government, the conversation is very much focused about how do we partner with the private sector to unlock opportunities by sharing our experiences, our skills, our talents, and collaborating towards inclusive growth and jobs, 100%. The minister has been very publicly outspoken about this as well, which I think is very important, not just for sentiment, but that actually is finding expression within government. I think, you know, Operation Vulindlela and other interventions through the presidency have yielded very positive results. And when we were in London with Hendrik du Toit and other captains of financial industry, we were absolutely just incredibly well received. So there is that positive sentiment. And I think that sentiment is founded on, it's not just sentiment based on sentiment and good feels. This is sentiment that is based on a genuine commitment to collaborate with the private sector in order to unlock those growth opportunities. So my experience so far has been, you know, while not perfect and not where we would like it to be, it is absolutely moving in the right direction. And the critical thing will be the difficult decisions that are required. And I think you can see from the medium-term budget policy statement that this is a government prepared to make difficult decisions in the short term to build a sustainable pathway to growth and job creation in the medium to long term.
Just in close, I was considering your position before I engaged in this discussion. And I know that when I wake up on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning and I look at my diary and it's jam-packed, it just seems almost impossible to navigate. And I thought, well, let me just put myself in the Deputy Minister's shoes of trade, industry and competition for a moment. How do you personally feel you could navigate this? For me, in my little world, it seems absolutely overbearing at times. And you have got so many moving parts, as you rightly say. You are responsible for such a huge part of the South African economy and driving that economy. Personally, how do you feel, Deputy Minister? It's just 3 months, July, August, September, October, now into November. Have you got the staying power here? Because I can imagine it's coming from you at every angle.
Well, you're really peeling back the layers here, Bronwyn. But when you said you were considering my position, I was wondering if you wanted to take the job. But I think that it is extraordinarily complex, and we're very fortunate. We've got a lot of good people in government, and there are a lot of people really working hard to do the right things and get things right. That gives me tremendous energy. We all have families. We have people who aren't our family, but in South Africa, we all feel like one big family. And so there's a lot of pressure to get it right. There's a lot of pressure to get up in the morning and to get through that diary, which is busy. I shudder to think what the minister's diary looks like if I look at mine. I think the critical thing is to make sure our diaries are productive towards our core objectives. It's very easy for a diary to be busy, if I can be frank, but it's got to be productive. It has to be designed and geared towards maximum efficiency, and we are certainly getting there. The first couple of months, there was a lot more in the diary than needed to be. We've become a lot more strategic with our time. And being strategic with the time ensures that there's sufficient energy resilience within my system to try and stay the course and to make sure that we achieve what needs to be done. There's a lot of travel, and there's a lot of personal sacrifice in public services. I think that there are a lot of people committed to doing the right things for the right reasons that are making tremendous sacrifice, which is really great to be part of a team where people are making those sacrifices together. And so nobody, I think, feels entirely isolated, especially in a government of national unity when there are 10 political parties. So there are a lot of us around the table, and that's also an exciting project is making sure that we find each other in the interests of everybody else in South Africa and the future of our economy. It's the busiest, it's the most exciting, it's the most challenging and frustrating and dynamic job I've ever had. And I think anything else after this would be quite boring.
You bring me to one final question. I know I said that was the last one, but the government of national unity, you mentioned so many different people sitting around the table. There is an excitement building externally. There are also observers externally who are detractors to the government of national unity. But Deputy Minister, it's tangible in terms of what I'm feeling, certainly in this conversation, that you are moving the needle and that the government of national unity is in full swing. Can we leave it on that note?
Yes, give and take. The government of national unity, any coalition, is give and take, and that will be the key deciding factor on the success of the GNU at the moment. We are having the difficult conversations. They will continue. There will be some noise. But I believe there are enough good people wanting to do the right things in the moment to make sure that it succeeds.
Thank you so much for your time in that diary of yours, the Deputy Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition, joining us here on Biz News, Andrew Whitfield.